I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Deadball Brothers podcast. I know that's not how we usually introduce the episode, but I'm guessing a lot of you who pay attention to US soccer podcasts have been hearing that a lot lately. It's been about a week now since Daryl Grove passed away, which feels insane to say still, but I wanted to say a couple things about him and didn't trust myself to do it in one take during the normal recording without crying or anything, so we're just putting it here instead. Simply put, Daryl was an exemplary human. You probably know that now. There's been plenty of things written about him, plenty of tributes. I wrote one myself that a lot of you who listen to this podcast probably also saw. But in case you didn't, I had the very excellent fortune of knowing Daryl personally, talking to him on several occasions over the past couple of years. I wouldn't say we were the closest of friends, certainly, but we were friends, and I was a massive fan of his, as well as getting able to know him on a personal level. And while I only became friends with him a couple years ago, it felt like we knew each other much longer than that. That's just the way that Daryl operated. He made you feel welcome, valued, important. I just wanted to start the show by thanking him for being the person he was, and to say our prayers go out to his wife, Shannon, all of his family, as well as Taylor and Margaret Rockwell, who I'm also lucky enough to call friends, and really everyone else that counted on Daryl being part of their lives on a day-to-day basis. We're dedicating this show to him in the best way that we know how, to continue to be weird and joyful and to love all the twists and turns of this game as best we can, just like he did. I don't think we can offer anything else, but I don't think he'd expect anything else from us either. I'm just going to miss my friend, and the world is going to miss a great person. But I think if we try to live the way that Daryl did, he will never really be gone. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we miss you, Daryl. Ooh, that sweet, sweet music. Welcome to Deadball Brothers, a weekly podcast about soccer and history with a healthy, healthy dose of stupidity. And we haven't said it in a while, but Drew, the theme music slaps.
It slaps so hard.
That used to be the prime meme that we would launch every single episode
it
with.
It really was. We weren't very original, and I think the theme music slaps kind of became our slogan.
One of our first things.
Yeah, it was one of our bits. We're like, oh man, this slaps so hard.
So if you remember that, congratulations, you've been around the podcast for a long time.
And thank you for sticking with us.
Absolutely.
The whole time.
And if you don't know that, welcome in. We've just revealed our secrets to you.
This podcast is part of the Blue Wire Podcast.
Bluecast Wire Pod.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And it is also brought to you by Bet Online and Indeed.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Drew, for mentioning our sponsors, which I so rudely did not do when I gave the intro.
Gotta give them that shout out.
We do gotta give them that shout out, contractually speaking. And so we did. You're welcome, Bet Online and Indeed, and also our employers, Blue Wire Podcast. Thanks for that. Gosh. Oh, Drew. It is a strange time to be a Manchester United fan.
You're not even gonna introduce yourself, dude.
All right.
It's been a little bit,
That's
I guess.
Fair. It has been a little bit. Welcome to the host of this podcast, myself, everybody's most favorite soccer writer, Adam Whitaker Snavely, joined as always by my real-life brother.
Drew Snavely, fan of European giants.
Oh, gosh.
Manchester United.
Here we go.
I never lost faith in the lads.
Oh,
Oles
yeah.
at the wheel. And
did you never lose faith in them when they were losing 6-1 to Tottenham?
All I'm going to say is Marcus Rashford, MBE, for Prime Minister. Dr. Marcus Rashford, MBE.
Does he have a doctorate now?
He has an honorary doctorate.
Okay, all right. So it's like Jerry Falwell Sr.
Yeah. It's like a lot of people.
It's like a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure he has one or two of those.
Yeah. Elections right around the corner.
Nope, let's not talk about it at all. Yeah. Let's not talk about it at all, please.
Oh, man.
We're delving into history in part a little bit to forget about all that stuff.
But go out and vote on Tuesday. Haven't already.
Please go vote. It's important. It's very, very important. And that's the only mention we are going to make of that. So if you're just suffering from severe election fatigue like I am,
this is your break.
This is it.
This is our break.
A little cigarette.
Our therapy.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the money to go see a therapist.
Yeah. So we're giving you a little smoke break in the form of some nonsense, some history, and some soccer.
Absolutely.
Well, that's how we do it.
There's been a lot of soccer going on lately.
There has been so much soccer.
And the reason for my maybe unearned optimism
okay.
is because Manchester United, obviously, undefeated in Champions League so far this year. And it's not like we were facing teams like, I don't know, who did Chelsea play this week? Like Kraken?
Krasnodar.
Yeah. We beat PSG.
You did beat PSG.
Runners up last year in Champions League.
Nicely done.
And RB Leipzig.
It must be said, an RB Leipzig that didn't start Tyler Adams.
They didn't.
Those fools.
And a Timo Werner-less RB Leipzig as well.
Yeah.
But they were still semifinalists, I believe, last year in the Champions League.
They were.
So no like pushovers. I mean, they didn't.
And they still have strike power without Timo Werner. They've got Yusuf Poulsen. They've got Hwang Hee-chan, who is the South Korean striker, the formerly of Red Bull Salzburg, who he was one of the guys who scored against Liverpool.
Yeah.
In the Champions League last year in that crazy game that they had.
That was an insane game.
They've got people. They just signed Justin Kluivert, Patrick's son.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got some firepower. They should not have lost 5-0.
No, put it that way. How do you Nagelsmann?
Julian Nagelsmann. Yeah.
Yeah.
Style icon.
Yeah, and hot young manager of soccer,
literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively.
He's a good-looking guy.
He made a couple galaxy brain moves.
He really did. He does that. That's ending kind of his thing.
Ending the game with like two actual defenders on the field.
Hey. I mean, hey, when you're down 5-0, it's kind of like,
what do you have to lose?
You're just trying to limit the losses on your goal differential that is obviously not going to be great after it. And hopefully you get a goal or something and everything turns out fine. But that was not to be.
It was surprising because Marcus Rashford, Bruno Fernandes, and Paul Pogba all started the game on the bench.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Crazy.
Actually, I'm take that back. Paul Pogba did not start the match on the bench.
I thought he started the match.
Because we did the midfield diamond.
Yes. Which everybody's been clamoring for.
Yeah. And it was like, it was fine. It was effective enough. I mean, they didn't concede any goals.
Play the diamond so that we can play Donny Van Der Beek.
Oh, gosh. The really great development this season so far has been Fred's development.
Hey, what's up, Fred?
He's like finally starting to show up and have some pretty big games for us. That's which nice. Is exciting.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Scott McTominay.
They call him McTominay. McTominator.
McTominator.
The McTominator. Oh, yeah.
Well, Drew, I'm very happy that you are having success in Europe, even if it's looking slightly dire at times in the Premier League itself. The 0-0 draw against Chelsea was 90 minutes of my life I will never get back.
It was incredibly boring.
I was thinking it was going to be great because both defenses are awful. Both attacks have some incredibly talented players. And it turned into two teams that knew they were bad at defense. And they were like, we're going to defend all game.
Well, at least Manchester United didn't throw out five defenders out there. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a Frank thing, though. Frank has done that for a while, the 3-4-3.
That
whole deal. I don't know, man.
It is what it is.
But we're not here to talk about present-day soccer. No.
But thank you for letting me talk about Manchester United.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute since you've really had a chance to gloat.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give that to you.
It's not often that I get to do it, so
thank you. That's so true. That is so true. Drew, we're here to talk about some historical soccer.
Yes.
And this one is a doozy.
A doozy and also a doozy.
It is. We are splitting this one into two parts because the story is literally that long. It is so long. It's very, very... There's a lot of things that happen. So we're doing our first ever Dead Ball Brothers two-parter.
It's very exciting. And Adam texted me yesterday and was like, hey, just so you know, this episode is going to be... actually split into two because I'm on page 4 of my story and I still haven't even gotten through all the crazy stuff yet. So I'm buckled in and ready to go.
And I hope you are buckled in and ready to go as well, listener, because this one is going to be a ride.
Let's do it.
Our story begins on August 26th, 1943.
Okay.
Europe, Africa, and Asia had been embroiled in World War II for years at this point. But there was still something of a tentative peace in the Western Hemisphere, where the United States was still hemming and hawing a little bit about joining the war. Because if there's one thing that the U.S. enjoys doing, it's getting into wars.
Oh, gosh.
Even if this one seemed like probably if you had to pick one war, like
this is probably it.
This is the good war that you have to fight.
This is the one that you should join.
Because of literal Hitler. Yeah, yeah. That's probably it, I suppose. Yeah. Not that it justifies anything that the U.S. did in said war, like dropping an atomic bomb on Japan.
Yeah.
And then doing it again.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yes.
Just south of the United States, though, a woman named Stella Warner was giving birth to a son, Austin.
Jesus?
God. We made it like a successful 5 minutes in the story before we got a really bad joke.
Sorry.
Soon, though, her son came by the nickname that he would go by for the rest of his life, Jack. This is the semi-abridged story of Jack Warner. Quite possibly the most infamous scammer, money exchanger, and fraud in soccer's long and sordid history.
Yes.
You recall the Chuck Blazer episode that we did?
Yes, I do.
Jack Warner was Chuck Blazer's confidant and partner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we've covered some of this story a little bit already.
Uh-huh.
But we're covering the flip side of it now. And let me tell you, my friend, it is a doozy.
You've already said that?
I said that, and I'm saying it again.
Doozy squared.
It deserves it. Exponential increase.
Okay.
Jack's early life was fairly normal, thanks to his hardworking mother, who raised him and his siblings by herself despite meager finances in a very small town in Trinidad. He attended school and university, training him to become a teacher during his secondary education in the 1960s. In 1962, I believe, I hope I get this right, Trinidad and Tobago gained independence from Britain. So that didn't happen until the 60s.
Wow.
So he's almost 20 years old at the point where he's 19 when Trinidad gains independence.
Gotta love imperialism.
Imperialism. If there's one thing that soccer loves, it's imperialism.
Jeez.
If there's one thing that England's national team loves, it's imperialism. Who am I talking about? If there's one thing America's soccer team loves, it's imperialism.
It is true.
That's just the way that goes. 5 years after Trinidad and Tobago gained independence from Britain, Jack Warner graduated from college with a degree in history. It was soccer, however, that held Jack Warner's attention, or at least the opportunities that soccer might bring. Trinidad and Tobago was not great at soccer, and cricket is still probably the more popular sport in the country, as it is in a lot of Caribbean nations. Cricket is super popular. Again, imperialism.
I was going to say, all thanks to those Brits.
Mm-hmm. But Jack Warner had big ideas for a school teacher from a tiny town. Before he had even graduated from college, he became general secretary of the Central Football Association, and by 1973 had climbed to his position as secretary of the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation, which I will hereby refer to usually as the TNTFA.
Okay.
Because that's much shorter to say.
TNT. No.
That's enough of that.
No.
That's enough of that. He held that position of general secretary for 16 years, becoming the most recognizable figure in the sport in his home country, and soon becoming a very visible figure in CONCACAF and FIFA as well.
Yes.
It was in 1989, however, that you might say Jack Warner's story really got interesting. In 1989, CONCACAF had one slot for World Cup qualification. It was a time when I believe only 24 teams were invited to the World Cup.
Man, the World Cup's gotten so much better in modern times.
That's true. I'm curious to see how the next, like, the real big ones, because it's expanding again.
Man.
How that goes.
It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be absolutely wild. Even more parody.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
I guess hopefully.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see the best team win.
That's true. there's not been enough World Cup champions. Let's just get it out there.
Exactly.
The World Cup's been around for almost a century now. Only eight teams have won it.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to see it. Unless it's Brazil, who wants to see one of those teams that have won it before? I know we all want to see Brazil win again, obviously. Everybody wants that. Nod your head.
Yeah.
Nod your head. Listeners. Yes, we want Brazil to win the World Cup. But who wants to see Germany win another World Cup?
Nobody.
Boring.
I was going to say, as early as 2010, there were only seven teams that had ever won.
Yep.
Seven countries that had never won.
Spain finally won it.
And Spain finally got one.
So, CONCACAF only had one slot. And that slot, normally, would be won by Mexico.
Yes.
Who was, and probably still are, the best team in the region. I'd say, at this point, still yes.
Awkward pause. There's an awkward pause there.
We'll see what happens in the next 4 to 6 years. I think that the U.S. flips it back. But we shall see. As it stands, we didn't qualify for the last World Cup. So
yes, we can't really talk. But Mexico only qualified for the previous World Cup because of us.
Yeah, and look what they did to us 4 years later.
That is true.
If they had won their last qualification game, we would have gotten in the World Cup, and they did not. So
Mexico's the worst.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Mexico, that year, had been suspended internationally for fielding overage players in youth tournaments. Which is just such the worst reason to get suspended, basically. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
You're like, this dude looks like he's 30. Why is he on the field?
Why is he in this U-17 match? Oh, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, seriously.
So instead, the spot for the World Cup was being contested by the United States, who hadn't been to a World Cup since 1950, and Jack Warner's Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
We've gone over this a bit before, again, in our episode about Chuck Blazer, Jack Warner's right-hand man, and this is allegedly the trip Chuck Blazer took where the two actually met and first began talking about stuff, you know.
Some stuff. Some stuff that's not necessarily considered completely legal.
Or morally sound.
But it was stuff nonetheless.
Indeed stuff. Now, you might recall, this game was a bit of a mess.
Yes.
The capacity of the stadium for the game to be played in was just under 30,000. 60,000 tickets were sold.
Oh, gosh.
Leading to mass overcrowding and lots of angry fans. There is a rumor, however, and this isn't something that we really got into a lot in the Chuck Blazer episode, I think, that this was not on accident. And nor was it a simple ploy to make way more money off tickets than TNT should have, although they definitely did.
Yes.
There is a thread that suggests the fix was in from the very start for TNT to lose to the United States. I am actually going off for this portion an old Kick TV video. Do you remember Kick TV way back when? It was one of like Jimmy Conrad's actually first like big like media things.
I'm sure I've seen videos on it before.
You have. I almost guarantee it. They got bought by Copa 90, and then Copa 90 kind of turned it into Copa 90 US. And then they laid everybody else off of Copa 90 US, and now Copa 90 US doesn't exist at all.
No.
Pretty much. I think it still does. It's just like a couple people that run a branded social media account, basically. Sad.
Very.
So, I'm going off an old Kick TV video in collaboration with Howler, actually, starring my former boss, George Krejci.
Shouts out, George.
Shouts out, George. You can go check out this video if you want. He goes on to Trinidad. And also, hi, George. Here's the thread. Here's this rumor. Here are the sequence of events that you look at, and it's like, this maybe didn't happen.
Yeah.
In terms of, oh, like, TNT, it was a fix. The U.S. was always going to win.
Yeah.
But it's suspicious.
Oh.
It is. I'll just lay it out, and you all can decide for yourselves.
Yeah, lay it out for us.
The U.S. kind of, sort of, needed to make it into the 1990 World Cup if they wanted to generate interest back home for the 1994 World Cup,
yeah,
which was its own can of worms for the U.S. to even get all those hosting rights. So, maybe.
Yeah.
Some things possibly, allegedly, maybe, not for certain, exchanged hands, and quite possibly the TNT FA sabotaged their own national team. None of this is confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a suggestion thanks to plenty of suspicious things surrounding the game. The U.S. men's national team had a hotel that was a 5 to 10 minute drive away from the stadium.
Yeah.
Trinidad and Tobago somehow were stationed an hour-long bus ride away from the same stadium.
What?
As the home team.
What the heck?
Mm-hmm. At one point, traveling to the game, there were many excited crowds following the TNT bus, so the bus stopped for fans to greet the team personally, a process that took a couple hours, obviously cutting into preparation time for the game. When the team finally got there, the stadium was so overcrowded that the team had to be lifted over fans' heads, like crowd surfed, onto the pitch.
What?
In order to get there. None of this, as you might guess, is very conducive to preparing for a must-win match that would send your team to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Still, TNT played the U.S. close, and the game reached its dying moments, still tied 0-0. The TNT players having to deal with all this stuff, the U.S. players, not really so much.
Yeah.
We all know how this story ends. Paul Caligiuri scores a banger of a volley. They call it the shot heard around the world. The U.S. seals the 1-0 win.
Yeah.
But what we often forget is what happened mere seconds before that play that sent the U.S. to the 1990 World Cup, when U.S. defender John Doyle made an absolutely awful challenge in his own penalty area, taking out a Trinidadian attacker by swiping his legs out from under him from behind, barely making the barest hint of contact with the actual ball.
Yeah.
If it was, even if it wasn't in the box and it was just an open field play in today's game, he would have gotten red carded. 100%. It's a scissors. He does this big scissors things. He completely clamps down on the guy's legs. It's a terrible, terrible challenge.
Yeah.
The referee makes no call.
Nothing to see here.
Tony Meola, U.S. mullet legend.
Oh my God.
What a hairstyle he had. Trotted out, collected the ball. Cycled it back upfield.
Yeah.
Caligiuri scores. The U.S. goes to the World Cup. And 4 years after that, they host the most attended World Cup in history. Shocking the world in the process by beating Colombia and making it out of the group stage before losing to eventual champions, Brazil.
Mm.
6 months later, Jack Warner is elected CONCACAF president.
Yes, he is.
Unseating Mexican Joaquin Terrazas, who had been president for 20 years previous to that point. Chuck Blazer becomes CONCACAF General Secretary. So, there's a very interesting timeline for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How that all happens directly after the U.S. qualifies for the World Cup in that kind of fishy situation Trinidad and Tobago game.
Yeah.
There's no proof. There's proof of plenty of things that Jack Warner definitely did.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to get to those.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Oh, we absolutely will. There's no proof here. But given the vast, just the vast amount of crimes Warner and Chuck Blazer committed, and given how suspicious all those events were leading up to that game, and then 6 months later, after Trinidad loses to the U.S., Jack Warner gets elected CONCACAF president.
Yeah, it's strange.
It makes one think. It makes you put on your thinking cap.
Absolutely.
You know? In a few decades, Jack Warner had risen from small-town obscurity to one of the largest figures in the sport in the entire Western Hemisphere. But he was far from finished. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the podcast brought to you by Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Hey, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the podcast, brought to you by BetOnline. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We are back.
We're back.
Jack Warner just became CONCACAF president under some maybe a little shadiness.
Some suspicious circumstances.
Risky business.
Jack Warner became FIFA president, and he did so by dressing up in tighty whities and tube socks and that white button down with sunglasses and sliding into frame.
Absolutely.
And he said, "I'm the president now." And everybody said, "You're right.
You are.
Correct. I can't argue with it." Yes. Yes. Jack Warner became CONCACAF president after his run as the head guy of the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation granted him access to FIFA's very prestigious and not at all corrupt halls.
Ah, yes. Had to slide that in there.
Indeed. Warner moved quickly as president of CONCACAF with Chuck Blazer at his side. He was elected to FIFA's executive committee and eventually became vice president of the organization, officially becoming one of the most powerful men in the sport anywhere in the world. It's still crazy to think about. This guy from Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
Who have...
Humble beginnings, man.
The most humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Becomes vice president of FIFA.
Yeah.
It's wild. And, as you might have guessed, Jack Warner was mostly focused on one thing.
money.
Money. Money, 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 money. DMCA takedown. Okay. Before Jack Warner's reign as president, CONCACAF was pretty much a backwater and a financial minnow, generating less than $200,000 a year.
Rough.
Not much money.
Not what you want.
By the time Warner was finished, CONCACAF was making upwards of $40 million a year. And yes, inflation is a thing, but that's still a lot of money. That's a huge increase.
Yeah, yeah.
The money wasn't simply floating to CONCACAF, however. Again, we talked about Chuck Blaze's corruption and how he had complete oversight of the CONCACAF books, which was kind of his thing. That was Chuck Blazer's whole major corruption deal. He didn't have any accountability. He had control of CONCACAF books, and he usually would use those to his advantage. We all recall this.
Yeah.
Warner, much like Blazer, wasn't immune to the call of easy money either. Where he and Chuck Blazer seemed to differ was that somehow Warner's attempt at making himself some extra cash were even more brazen.
Okay.
The biggest and most notable example of this is a literal building. The João Havelange Center of Excellence. Now, João Havelange, who's that guy?
No idea.
He was the Brazilian president of FIFA prior to Sepp Blatter.
Okay.
So we're going back now to FIFA presidents.
Yes.
Now it's Gianni Infantino.
Because he was less corrupt than Sepp Blatter, probably, right?
What's funny about the FIFA presidents is that it seems like it really doesn't matter at all.
No, it doesn't.
He was the president of FIFA prior to Sepp Blatter, who allegedly promised Jack Warner the money necessary to build the center. Although, by the time the center was being built, Sepp Blatter had already taken over FIFA, and he just kind of went along with it, basically. Jack Warner still named the building after João Havelange.
Yeah.
In addition to funds from Trinidad and Tobago's government and CONCACAF, as well as money allocated to development of soccer in CONCACAF by FIFA, which is a thing they do every year for like all regions. They have a fund for different regions for like soccer development.
Yeah.
Or football development, as they say.
Football.
Football. FIFA also secured a $6 million loan to in turn loan to Trinidad and Tobago for the building of the center. It doesn't appear that TNT ever paid that money back.
Okay.
It's just $6 million that went into the João Havelange Center of Excellence and never reappeared.
Never came back
out. Nope. Not at all. So there's shady thing number one about the Center of Excellence.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the Center of Excellence was billed as the premier soccer institute in all the Caribbean.
Okay.
They wanted to build basically a giant training center that was going to be state-of-the-art.
Yeah.
It was going to be a place where you could host tournaments, where you'd have better youth academy development, where you'd do all this stuff. You'd help develop the sport in the nation to the umpteenth degree.
Absolutely.
Basically. Yeah. And it was going to be kind of like, supposedly, the crown jewel for the entire island region of CONCACAF.
Yeah.
It was going to house world-class facilities for players, fields, a hotel, and venue for events, all that stuff. What transpired, however, was a little bit something less than that, we'll say. There is a venue and a hotel.
Okay.
It exists.
Okay,
great. There's really, really terrible, creepy-looking statue of João Havelange front of it. It's terrifying looking.
It's like the statue of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes, a little bit more like the likeness of João Havelange than the statue of Cristiano Ronaldo looks like Cristiano Ronaldo.
What is that?
It should also be noted that if you just look up a picture of João Havelange, he's a scary looking person.
Ah, okay.
He looks like the butler of a haunted mansion. Like,
gotcha.
The best way that I can describe to you how João Havelange looked.
It's a scary looking statue because it's a scary looking guy.
Yes, it definitely, I think, amplifies it in a way. But he's a just not a pleasant looking person, I suppose.
It is a spooky season.
It is spooky season.
He probably thrived around this time.
Hey. Stepped out of his coffin. Turned into a bat.
In Brazil. Do they celebrate Halloween in Brazil?
Jair Bolsonaro is their president, so they have a vampire there.
Ooh.
Ooh, got him. Screw that guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, seriously.
Anywho. Sorry, Grandma and Grandpa, if you're listening to this. We're not fans of Jair Bolsonaro.
We are not.
Not at all. So, there's a venue. There's a hotel. Yes. And the venue and the hotel is basically all the Center for Excellence really ended up being used for. People would pay money and can still pay money to hold weddings there, to hold conventions there, simply book nights to stay there, seeing as it really is a hotel.
Okay.
In that Kick TV video, there's actually a great scene where they book a couple nights to stay there, like themselves.
Yeah.
And they're out on like the balcony of their room talking, and George is talking, and then he notices like 5 feet to his right, there's a big dead bird.
Oh my God.
That is just there. Like under a chair.
Sweet.
And I'm like, this seems like an ill omen.
Yeah.
What's even more? So this is kind of like, they didn't really pump out a sport thing. It's more just an event center.
Yeah.
And hotel. It's a little bit run down.
Yeah.
And what's even more, so we have the $6 million loan. We have the Center for Excellence. It's not really a Center for Excellence. It's more just a hotel.
Yeah.
The land the hotel was built upon was and is owned by Jack Warner.
Oh, okay.
And furthermore.
Okay.
The company that runs the Joao Havelange Center of Excellence is CONCACAF. However, it is not CONCACAF, the American and Caribbean Soccer Federation.
Okay.
A separate company, also named CONCACAF.
What?
Owns the Julian Havelange Center of Excellence.
Okay, so what's this other CONCACAF?
The operating address of this new CONCACAF is Jack Warner's home address.
Okay. Great.
The president of this CONCACAF company is Jack Warner.
Yeah, yeah, I would have guessed.
The board of directors for this CONCACAF company constitutes Jack Warner's wife and his son.
Okay. Keeping it in the family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So FIFA gave Jack Warner $6 million. In addition to the funds he was using from Trinidad and Tobago and CONCACAF to completely fund what amounted to a hotel and event venue from which Jack Warner and his family exclusively profits. There was no soccer development that was occurring there. It's just a hotel, and Jack Warner's making money off of it. That's it.
Hey, man. Some people got to get paid.
In the video, there's a Trinidad and Tobago journalist who's basically like, they said it was a loan, and then they said it was a grant, and then Jack Warner said it was a gift to him.
Yes, this was a gift.
Just a classic gift of $6 million.
A gift in the very small sum of $6 million.
I'm sure that's close to what Kanye paid for Kim Kardashian's hologram dad for her birthday.
Oh my gosh!
Which the stones on the man to create a script for a hologram dead father for his wife, who he had never known or met, who then compliments Kanye during the little presentation of the hologram dad. Oh man, it is something else. Private island.
Oh man.
Multiple health screenings.
Just a small exclusive group of friends.
Just a small
private small island. Gathering. Just to kind of get away from everything.
And that's how we lump the Kardashians into the story about Jack Warner.
Yes.
Go us. Good job, us. Not all of Warner's exploits were this complicated. Which this one is not even that complicated. It's just like there's a couple moving parts, basically.
Yeah.
In 2004, he arranged a friendly match between Scotland and Trinidad and Tobago. After which, the Scottish FA requested, or no, Trinidad Jack Warner requested from the Scottish FA, and the Scottish FA like reported this basically.
Okay.
They're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Jack Warner requested the Scottish FA make a check out for $75,000 to be paid to his personal account.
What?
It's just like it's so out there. Like, yeah. Hey, pay me 75 grand.
Maybe we should try that. Just walk up to people and be like, hey, pay me 75 grand.
Pay me 75 grand.
Name's Drew Snavely. You can write it on the check.
S-N-A-V-E-L-Y, E before the L. That's very important.
Yes, yes, yes. It's not Snavely.
No, Snavely. Thank you. In 2006, just a couple years later, Warner was reprimanded and punished by FIFA. A rare occurrence of FIFA actually punishing him.
Okay.
During his tenure. He was actually punished. So this is something that is confirmed he 100% did. For reselling tickets to the 2006 World Cup in Germany. Reportedly, Jack Warner's son repackaged tickets allotted to him by FIFA. Which, before the World Cup, FIFA has an allotment of tickets that they just give out to the executives.
Yeah.
Jack Warner's on the executive committee. I think he's already vice president at this point as well of FIFA.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, here's a bunch of tickets. You can use them for yourself, friends and family. You can give them away, whatever. They basically have literally just one rule. There's one rule about these tickets.
Do not sell them.
It wasn't even do not sell them.
Okay.
You could still make a profit off of these tickets. Here's the one rule. If you resell these tickets that we give you, sell them at face value.
Okay.
So they're given the tickets. These executives are given the tickets for free.
Yeah.
So if they sell them at face value, which is probably like...
still a lot of money.
Maybe a couple hundred dollars, something like that. They're still making a tiny little bit of profit.
Yeah.
Like, it's happening. But there is one rule. Sell these for face value.
Okay.
If you resell them, don't bump the price up. Don't become that guy in the parking lot of an NFL game that's holding five tickets in his hand and selling them for $1,000 a pop.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. Jack Warner did not do that.
Okay.
It was technically Jack Warner's son.
Yeah.
Reportedly, Jack Warner's son repackaged tickets allotted to Jack Warner by FIFA that were meant to be resold at face value.
Uh-huh.
If the officials who received these tickets were to resell them. Warner's son through a travel agency owned by Jack Warner and his family. So it still winds back to Jack Warner because he owns the company. So he's still going to be making the profits.
Yes.
Allegedly made $1 million.
What?
Just through reselling these tickets.
Oh my God.
Had marked up these tickets that, I don't know, maybe the tickets were like to boxes. So they were probably like maybe in the thousands of dollars range. These tickets were marked up into like the five figure range.
Wow.
That they sold to people.
Yeah.
And this company made $1 million just off reselling these tickets.
Good God.
FIFA found out, because it's not hard to find out something about that.
No.
Like, at all. They ordered Jack Warner to pay back this $1 million once these sales came to light.
Uh-huh.
As of 2015, which is the most recent article I could find about this, only $250,000 had been repaid to FIFA.
Yeah, that money's gone.
That money is not coming back whatsoever.
No.
Absolutely not. It's not coming back.
It's getting buried with him.
This all came in the same year that Trinidad and Tobago qualified for the World Cup, which was a big, big deal for Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
I remember watching them specifically. Kenwyn Jones was on that team. I remember watching them play England and playing them really, really close. They were a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
So... it being a big deal that TNT qualified for the World Cup and played there, because it doesn't something that usually happens, Jack Warner struck a deal with the players as a special advisor for the Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation. This is another thing about Jack Warner. When he became president of CONCACAF, he resigned his position as TNT president.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
Like, you can't hold both these positions.
Conflict of interest.
Is the big one.
We
don't need to talk about anywhere else that it is currently at play, because we already said that we weren't going to talk about that one thing.
No.
Right at the beginning of this podcast. But obviously, he resigns. He's now the president of the whole region. He can't also be the president of a federation in the region that he's supposed to be impartially ruling over, like a king. Here's the thing. Basically, after Jack Warner became CONCACAF president, he started a role with the TNT Federation that they termed special advisor.
Uh-huh.
What it translated to was that Jack Warner basically still ran everything in TNT.
Okay.
So he was both a CONCACAF president and he was the special advisor, and pretty much anything that he said went.
Yeah.
And then he was just running like that. And nobody cared.
No.
Or at least some people cared, but not enough people, and not the people in the right places cared that it was actually going to change something.
Yeah.
So Jack Warner was the person, as special advisor, that actually struck a deal with the players who qualified for the 2006 World Cup. He said, "You guys made the World Cup. That's a big feat. Here's the deal with bonuses." Because typically, everywhere, international soccer, if you make the World Cup, if you win the World Cup, if you get yay far in World Cup, players get bonuses for that.
Yes.
They make money off of that.
Yes.
And basically, he said, "Yes, you're all going to receive bonuses. And here's how we'll do it. We'll share proceeds from the World Cup. We'll try to split it 50-50. 50% of the proceeds that we make from being in the World Cup will go to you guys, the team, to be split amongst you. And 50% will come to us." And the players agreed. They said yes. At the time, the player, kind of like player association president, was actually Shaka Hislop.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. A familiar name for anybody that's watched soccer. He's a frequent commentator and analyst for a lot of like ESPN stuff now.
Yeah.
After the World Cup, the TNT FA said they had made, on the World Cup, 18.25 million Trinidad and Tobago dollars and had incurred operating costs of 17.9 million Trinidad and Tobago dollars.
Gotcha.
Thereby offering the TNT players bonuses of around 5,000 TNT dollars each. Now you may be asking me, Adam, what's a TNT dollar compared to a U.S. dollar,
which
is the value that I am familiar with and that I know of.
Like, if you go to the store and TNT is, like, a loaf of bread, like, 2 TNT dollars? Or is it, like, 200 TNT dollars?
Exactly.
Or, like, 2,000 TNT dollars? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or, like, 20,000 TNT dollars?
I didn't check the inflation rates and what they were from 2006 to now.
Okay.
Because it was just too much.
Yeah.
And so I went with what the conversion is right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's significantly different. And if somebody knows, they can talk to me about it.
Okay.
And that's fine. But now the conversion rate between US dollars and TNT dollars is that one TNT dollar is 15 cents.
Wow.
In the United States.
Okay.
So 5,000 TNT dollars.
You did this math?
I did actually do this math. Is under $1,000 each. They were getting like $700 to $800 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which as a professional athlete, which a bunch of these TNT players were like TNT and British dual nationals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like a bunch of these people are playing in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like Kenwyn Jones is in the Premier League playing for Stoke City. Shaka Hislop has been playing in England. Like these people have money. Like they're not poor. They know what they're worth.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're like,
it's like a slap in the face to get $800.
This math doesn't check out.
No.
What is what they said. Like, there's no way. There can't be any way.
Yeah.
That this is what they made. So the players shocked at all these numbers, and they were convinced the Federation had made far more than that from competing in the world's premier sporting event. They eventually took the FA and Jack Warner to court. Their contentions were mainly that no independent audit of the TNT FA took place to confirm these revenues, which is true. There was no audit.
Okay.
They just said it.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we made this much and we paid this much. So
here's this.
Go with that. That's how it works.
Nothing else to see
nothing
here.
Nothing to see here, boys. Now, since no audit took place, they said that the FAA was probably hiding money, or trying to hide money, that they promised to the players. Warner, for his part, said the following.
Gosh.
What Trinidad is suffering from is from a situation whereby 16 or 18 players are holding a country and a federation to ransom because of greed.
Oh my gosh.
A rich quote.
Yes.
A rich quote of a man taking his players to task for greed.
Yes.
Of all things.
Yes.
The players took the TNT FA to court, where it was revealed that Trinidad and Tobago did not make 18.25 million Trinidad and Tobago dollars from the 2006 World Cup. They made $173 million.
Oh my gosh.
From the 2006 World Cup.
Wow.
The team was actually due at least 88 million Trinidad and Tobago dollars to be split amongst them.
Wow.
The TNT FA was trying to give the team like 40,000
yeah.
TNT FA dollars, TNT dollars to split amongst all of them. They were owed 88 million.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's nuts.
Jack Warner said this country is being held to ransom by 16 yes. players who are greedy. And oh they were gosh. Hiding $173 million. So these players owe this money. A court of arbitration in the UK ruled this. And the Trinidad and Tobago government actually said they were the ones who revealed the revenues. Because yeah. like legally they had to report, yeah. They yeah, report yeah, that yeah. to the government. So the government was like, yeah, they made $173 million. Like that's what occurred.
Good Lord.
Again, I looked up articles.
Yeah, you did.
Because I wanted to know, much like many other things in Jack Warner's life, once this was ruled, was this ever paid to players? And as of 2013, $0 had been paid.
Yeah, I was going
to say, the 2006 World Cup team.
Jeez. Yeah, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. How does this guy get away with it?
By being enabled by a lot of other people that are also making money.
It is true.
Not as much money as he is.
It is true.
That is, I mean, that's the MO.
Yeah.
Like, of all yeah. these people, I mean, you had Chuck Blazer that was cooking the books and just, like, writing himself checks,
yeah.
basically, for whatever.
Yeah.
And that was his whole scam. Jack Warner's is even simpler than that. It was just, mm-hmm. I am powerful enough that even when courts find and when FIFA finds out stuff and when courts find out stuff and tells me I have to pay money, I just don't do it and nobody calls me on it.
Yeah.
Because enough people around me are making money off of me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still making more.
Yeah.
But nobody's gonna enforce it. Nobody's gonna yeah. call me on it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's wild. So it's just Jack Warner's life is like full of stories like this.
Yeah.
Of places where he just blatantly he and or federations in his name scammed people. People caught him, called him on it, and then said, you have to pay this back. And he just never does. Nobody, like, the money never materializes.
So weird.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So, Jack Warner, bad person.
Yes.
I think we could say that.
Yes.
We've said a couple people are bad people. I think the most memorable one on this podcast was your take on Diego Maradona.
Yeah.
Are we going to pretend that Diego Maradona is a good guy now? Jack Warner was a bad person. He wasn't afraid to stir the pot in the soccer world. Actually, my favorite quote that I found was Jack Warner talking about England in 2007. Because oh, England, gosh. For a long time, was trying to host the 2018 World Cup.
Uh-huh.
Because it usually goes in a cycle.
Yeah.
One's in Europe, and then one is in somewhere one of the other else. Continents.
Yeah.
And then we go back to Europe.
Yeah.
So 2018 was always going to be Europe. It ended up being Russia,
which yeah.
is technically Europe, but also kind of Asia.
Yeah, yeah.
So England was trying to host for a long, long time. And yeah. they were trying to do the whole, like, double whammy of the Olympics and the World Cup,
mm-hmm.
like, really close to each other.
Yeah.
Like, Rio did
yep.
and Brazil with
yep.
2014 World Cup, 2016 mm-hmm. Olympics. So London hosted the 2012 Summer Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to be like, 4 years later, we host the World Cup. We've already got the facilities, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It made sense.
Six years later.
Yeah. Correct. But they do already have all the facilities. All their stuff is already state of the art. It's kind of the same. I feel like Germany, England, and the United States always have the same pitch for hosting these big events. And it's always, we already got the stuff.
Yeah.
like we're not going to go broke building all these things like other countries do because we already have the stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's, and that's that. Jack Warner, when asked about England possibly winning the rights to host the 2018 World Cup, said, "England invented the sport, but has never made an impact on world football."
Got him.
Oh, man. And also, he said, "Nobody in Europe likes England."
True.
He made these statements to, of all outlets, the BBC, which Sweet. We all know stands for British Broadcasting Company.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So he's a bad dude, and he's also got a titanic ego and doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what anybody thinks, and he gets away with it, and he consistently gets away with it time after time after time. But he also seemed powerful to the point of impenetrability at this point in his home region and even internationally. So what does a person like that do when you've reached that point? Well, what anyone does when they're a bad person and powerful and they don't have any real moral compass. Jack decided it was time to get into politics.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of Deadball Brothers. Make sure to check out the second part of the Jack Warner saga.
Yes.
Early next week.
Hopefully, Monday
or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday is when you will be putting it into your ear holes.
But until then, if you want to support the podcast, you want to support Deadball Brothers, you can give us a follow on social media at Deadball Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Deadball Pod on Facebook as well. You can email us with a question or concern, deadballpod@gmail.com. If you want to support us financially, you can buy merch from our merch store. The link for that is in the description below in this podcast.
It's cool merch. It's cool merch.
So
if I say so myself, the person who designed it, I think it's neato.
But thank you once again for sticking with us, listening to us, supporting this podcast. I guess you could also leave a rating or review.
Oh, yeah, well. That's the big way to help support us.
Preferably 5 stars.
Preferably 5 stars. We love a 5-star review.
Drop a little haiku, ooh, something funny. We'll feature it on the podcast.
Something that we can read aloud for the enjoyment of tens and people.
Tens and tens of people.
Tens and tens of people.
Oh, man.
But seriously, thank you so much for supporting us. And we have been here for long enough at this point. So, without further ado, my name is Adam Whitaker Snavely.
And I'm Drew.
And we'll see you all for part 2 of the Jack Warner saga coming real, real soon.